The story of Christmas is simple, right? Not really. I mean, just as the video said, the God that created the world decided to come to earth. 100% God, 100% man. The Trinity is a mystery that we'll never fully understand until we get to heaven. But we know that Paul in the New Testament tells us that there was nothing made that Jesus didn't make. That when God was creating the earth on the sixth day, he said, "Let us make man in our image." He was talking to Jesus and he was talking to the Holy Spirit. He said, "Let's make man in our image." The event that we celebrate at Christmas time was thousands of years coming, maybe millions of years coming. We don't know how long it was. God is not a God who cares about time. But we celebrate the fact that he loved us enough to send his son. And not only did he send his son for us to believe in and trust in, but we are supposed to follow Jesus. We are supposed to trust him. We are supposed to have faith in him. We're supposed to do what he tells us to do. And throughout the Christmas story, we see people in this story say yes to God. And last week we talked about Mary. If you didn't hear last week's sermon and you want to go back, it's on the website. You can go to the website and it's the courage to say yes, number one. This one will be on the website sometime this week. But I want us to really think about the courage that it took for not only Mary to say yes, but today as we look at the story, Joseph. To do what Joseph was about to do took a lot of courage, took a lot of him putting his own pride aside, his own, quote, manliness, if you will. To do what God was asking him to do was something big. So let's stand this morning. Let's read the story about how he said yes and see if we can't find something to put to practice in our own life today. This is my Bible. I believe this is the infallible word of God. I will put his principles to practice in my life each day that I live. And because I read this Bible as the word of God, I will never leave this place the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 1. Verses 18 through 25. It says, "This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: 'The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.' When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate the marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." Father, as we think about the incredible ask that you placed upon Joseph in his life, I pray that you would help us to get a picture of what it means for you to request each one of us to do something that could have an impact on your kingdom. And just as Joseph had to lay aside some of his plans and dreams and his thoughts, Father, help us to be willing to keep you first in our lives and say yes when you ask us to do something. I ask this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, last week we talked about Mary, and we talked about the fact that when Mary was probably between the age of 15 and 18, she had an angel come to her and tell her she was going to get pregnant, that the Holy Spirit was going to come upon her, and she was going to have a baby. And she had to go home and tell her parents. And I cannot imagine what that was like. But not only did she have to tell her parents, but she also had to tell Joseph. And I was watching something this week. How many of you possibly watched the Kevin Costner thing about the Nativity that's on? Okay? It's a decent theatrical or presentation of the gospel, but it's kind of funny because in the video they show Joseph has the dream and he doesn't wait till the next morning to go talk to Mary and talk to her parents. He wakes up from this dream after the angel has told him, and he goes to the house, probably around 1 or 2 in the morning, and he's banging on the door, you know. He goes, it's true. What she's told us is true. And he takes Mary to be his wife. Now, again, it's all theatrical. We really don't know exactly how it happened, but we have the basics. And so just as we did last week in our lesson, We're going to start by pointing out the obvious, okay? I believe in my heart, and I don't know how old Joseph was at this time. He probably was anywhere from the age of 16 to probably 25. Depending on what books you go back to, who you listen to, we don't really know. But he's doing the best that he can. He's getting his life together. He's been engaged. They have a ceremony for engagement in the Jewish tradition. And so they got engaged. Now he goes somewhere away and to his house or his property, and he starts to build a home. And probably sometime within the year, he's planning to go get Mary and bring her home and make her his wife. And then they're going to start a family. And he's done everything in the right order, by the book, if you will, to make sure that he sets himself up for a good life as a husband, as a man, and he's being the best man he can be at this point. And then Mary comes to him at some point, or he sees Mary after she gets back from seeing Elizabeth, and she possibly has a baby bump, and the one thing he knows is this baby's not his, okay? So you got 2 points up there. So that's the first one. The next one is this. He knew the baby wasn't his, all right? You know, she may not have been able to figure out. Other people in the town maybe weren't going to buy into her story, if you will. But Joseph, for one, was... he was positive, though everybody in the town probably thought it was Joseph's baby, he was positive it was not his. He knew this baby was not his, and he's trying to figure out what he's going to do. And in the passage we read, it tells us that he cared about Mary. That I believe he loved Mary. I believe that whether this was an arranged marriage or whether this was a marriage that happened because they fell in love and they want to be together, he cared about her. But this happening just throws, you know, something in the spokes and is going to mess everything up. And he doesn't want to hurt her. He's hurt, I'm sure. But he doesn't want to put her through all the stuff. He doesn't want to have her stoned, which by the law he could. If it was found out that it was his, and most people probably did think it was his, they could stone them both. So his decision was to just divorce her quietly. And that seemed like a pretty good plan, because what has happened is going to wreck his plans. Again, I've talked about it a little bit earlier. He planned to get married. He planned to have a business. We know from Scripture that his trade is a carpenter. He's going to have a carpenter shop. He's going to, He's going to build things for a living. He's going to marry Mary. And that was part of his plan. He planned to marry Mary. It's hard to say, okay? But that was what he was going to do. They were going to have kids. And now this happens. She's found to be with child before the marriage ceremony's all been completed. And his reputation, whether he can convince enough people that it's not his without just dragging her name through the mud. I mean, how do you do that? And so if he's going to divorce her quietly, his reputation is going to be tarnished. He's not going to be looked upon the same in the town anymore. And honestly, if I were him, I'd probably move. I'd probably just pack my stuff up and go to another place and get ready. And I don't know what exactly was going through his mind before he had the dream, but again, everything that he had planned up to this point for his life is totally gone. And I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life where God has asked me to do stuff that has totally messed up my plan. God asked me to be a pastor when I was 17. He called me to be a pastor at 17. And I said no. Thank you, but no. Actually, it wasn't necessarily like that. I initially said yes, and then I had somebody tell me that I shouldn't be a pastor. They knew the kid that I was, and they could not see me as a pastor. And so they told me, you just need to be a good layperson like your dad. And I took that as my out. I'm like, okay, then that's it. I'm not doing it. 17 years later, God said, I asked you once when you were 17 to be a pastor. I'm asking you again. And I said, yeah. But I didn't say yeah instantly. When I was kind of approached by a pastor who felt like he should tell me that God was laying that on his heart, I said, there's no way I can go be a pastor. I said, I have never been to college. I don't have the education. I have three little girls. I have a really good job. I can't just quit everything and go back to school and do everything. And my pastor at the time goes, okay, all good arguments. All I'm telling you is what God told me. He said, now's the time for you to go do it. And here I am today. Amen. At 37, when I actually became your pastor, I went back to my home church one time, and there were about three or four guys in the church that went, I just can't believe you're a pastor. I remember you when you were like this. I just can't believe you're a pastor. And I'm like, yeah, me neither. So, but 20-some years later, here we are, and God is good. When you say yes to God, will it wreck your plans? It possibly can. Does it have to wreck your plans? No. Will it take you out of your comfort zone? Diane, yes, it will. But you're asking for the courage to do it, and it's awesome. Saying yes to God and listening to God's plan is what we need to be doing. But you need to be how do you listen to God? Well, hopefully, if God really wants it and he pushes it on you, maybe an angel will appear to you in your dream. Maybe not. Maybe it's going to be in your time of devotions when you're just reading God's word or you're praying and you can feel something inside you. I always tell people this. If you ever feel like something or somebody's telling you to do something right and you can't figure it out, it's God. If it's something that you would never do on your own, but you know it's probably a good thing, it's God. Because you would never do that on your own. It's just not who we are as human beings. Satan will make you do things that are wrong. He'll put that in you. And that's how we know that Satan messes with us. But when you're told to do something right or doing something good, I drive by people every day that have a sign that says anything will help. But every once in a while, God will impress it upon me or Nell as we're driving, and we'll say, we need to give to that person. Why that person? I don't know. But God says, give, so you give. Will you say yes to God? Joseph trusted the angel's message. Again, how could you not, right? I mean, an angel shows up. First thing an angel tells you is what? Fear not. Don't be afraid. Because you're going to be scared to death. Just like the shepherds, you know, when the angels appeared. Fear not, for I bring you glad tidings of great joy. You know, for Joseph it was, don't be afraid. And don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. I don't know how many people, it may have just been Mary, and it may just have been her parents that knew about what was going on. We know Elizabeth and Zachariah knew it, but maybe when Mary showed up after she'd been with Elizabeth for a while and she had the baby bump, maybe there's other people in the town that kind of got a suspicion that something wasn't quite right. When Joseph took Mary home, as his wife, he did what made no sense to other people. And there's going to be times in your life when God's going to ask you to do something, and people are going to go, why in the world would you do that? And you're just going to have to tell them, God told me to, if that's what you feel. I remember leaving when I became a pastor, and the whirlwind that happened when I became your pastor here. I was nine, this is just for your information, I was 9 years and 8 months into a job with the city of Colorado Springs that if I had stayed there 10 years, I would get half my pension. Half of what I was making, I would get that every year when I retired. And I left at 9 years and 10 months. And I had people going, you're stupid. Why would you stay 2 more months? If they want you now, you can wait. And if I'd ask you guys to wait 2 months, you might have said, yeah. But sometimes you can't do that. You have to do what makes no sense when you follow Jesus. Just like Peter. Jesus said, let's go out and fish. Peter's like, dude, it's daylight. I've been fishing all night. I don't want to go back out. And Jesus goes, let's just go out there. Fine. Throw your nets out there. Been there, done that. Do it anyway. What happens? He catches more fish than his boat can hold. Almost. The one thing that Joseph did in this story, though, is he made sure that God's plan wasn't tarnished or wasn't thwarted. Now, don't get me wrong. If Joseph had said no, we don't know how the story would read, right? But he had the right to say no. He could have said no, but he didn't. He believed that God had a plan. He believed that God chose him to be a part of it. And that's what makes some of the decisions that we make easier to handle. Are they easy? No. Nell and I were 3 years into having 2 little girls. People asked me, are you going to try again for a boy? I said, nope. Probably get another girl. So, and really didn't care because we wanted 2 kids, and as long as they were healthy, we were fine. And then Nell was pregnant. And I was mad. I was not happy. Took my 8-year plan, made an 11-year plan. You know, get those kids up, get them back to school, and they'll go back to work, everything's, you know, messed up my plans. But I can tell you, I remember kind of griping at God on the way to work, and I go to work at 4:30, 5 o'clock most mornings at that time to the golf course, and I was on my way, and I was at an intersection of Airport and Academy, and I remember it pretty vividly. I was mad. And I was griping. And it was like God just not thumped me, but just put pressure on me. And he said, I have a little girl that needs a daddy, and I chose you. I never griped again. It's like, okay. I'm okay with this. When you know God chooses you, you do what he asks. And he'll give you the courage and he'll give you the strength. That's what Christmas is all about. People making crazy choices. Saying yes to God when it doesn't make sense. A young lady, 15, 18 years old, gets told she's going to have a baby. Knows it's going to mess her, quote, mess her life up. Because she can only imagine what it's going to be. A young man who's got everything planned out. Changes his whole life. They move. They never go back to Nazareth to live. They go to Bethlehem. Then to Egypt. God may ask us to do things that we don't want to do. Or we don't understand. We just need to have the courage to say yes. Let's stand this morning. Father, as we think about this passage and we think about the story, we think about Mary and we think about Joseph, and in the next couple of weeks we'll look at the shepherds next week and the wise men the following. The shepherds left their flocks. Who watched them while they were gone? We don't know. Wise men traveled thousands of miles probably. Why would they do that? Father, you ask us to do things that we don't understand. You ask us to do things that we can't comprehend. Give us courage. Give us strength to say yes. May we follow you close. And when it gets hard, may we trust you to carry us. Because you are faithful and you are good. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.